Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Welcome along to our little evening soiree. Good to see that the weather's got a tad warmer, which is a good thing, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? At least it's a little bit, at least it kind of feels a little bit like July now. Oh, the amount of people having a go at me just because I said, I was turning around the other day and I was saying online, where is this climate change stuff? I mean, bring it on, you know, because it was so cold. It was like bloody winter. And they're going, Niall, do you not know the difference between weather and climate? But you do realise the two are intrinsically linked, you know what I mean? Obviously, if the climate changes, so does the bloody weather. You know, I was just saying, like, you know, all those promises. The polar ice caps will be gone in 5 years. That was 10 years ago, by the way. They're still there. We'll be all underwater by 2020. We're still not underwater. The ozone layer will be gone in 4 years. No, the hole has disappeared for some reason. The acid rain will kill us all. That was back in the 90s. Do you remember the acid rain? That was the cool one, wasn't it? That was back in the 1980s. And then you had Al Gore telling us the world was going to end by 2000. I suppose the method of delivery of these kind of statements just changes throughout the years. You know, it used to be a bloke walking around a city with a sandwich board on him saying, the end is nigh. You know, now it's a politician who we're supposed to take seriously. Anyway. Oh, I'm looking here. Jane has on the first one tonight, I love God. That's not actually what it's not about loving God, Jane. We'll come to that in a second. I'll explain it in a second. But it's not about loving God. People who are religious do love God. Work at home mother is the second one. It's about a woman who's really, really upset. And she wants to stay at home and work remotely. But her employer doesn't want her to work remotely. No, because she's got a job and she's got to go into the office. And we're saying, is it unfair that the employer is not really accommodating her? You know, if you have kids, should your employer accommodate her? Jane, what are you waiting patiently to say to me in my ear there, in between breaths? I know. Jane, I'm explaining it to the listeners now. I'm telling them. So the boss does... the boss doesn't want to accommodate her. She wants to work remotely. Do you believe somebody has the right to demand to work remotely just because they got kids? Don't ever work with people like Jane. They're so demanding. And also, as you may or may not know, everyone's favourite couple in the whole world, President Micheál D. Higgins and his wife Sabine, are celebrating their golden anniversary today. Happy couple, tie the knot, at Dublin's Haddington Road Church this day 50 years ago. Imagine waking up every morning seeing the same face on the pillow for 50 years. But if you love the person, wouldn't that be lovely? So what is the secret to a long and lasting marriage? We'll get around to that. And we're also going to be talking to two fascinating people, by the way, a little bit later on. News Corp's Australian reporter, Stephen Drill, the Times chief reporter. And we're also going to be talking to we're lucky enough to have the Australian journalist. And Cocaine Inc's host, Stephen Drill, will be on the line a little bit later on to tell us all about crime. Not just in Australia, but have the link to Ireland and the link all around the world. Now, firstly, that Jane one, she just, like, I'm looking out at her and she sniggers to herself. She mocks you. You know what I mean? She thinks life is just hilariously funny. I won't tell you what she was saying there 10 minutes ago before we started the show. She's a complete snob. I never actually realised it. Never realised it before, but she's actually a snob. She told me she would never have net curtains in the window. I'm joking. Anyway, in the news today, a Cork City Councillor has said the opening prayer before council meetings should be abolished. Mr. Padraig Rice says there should be a separation between the church and the state institutions, that the crucifix should be removed from the council chamber immediately. As it stands, prayers are said before every council meeting, it's tradition, as well as the opening session in the Dáil. What I want to know tonight is if you agree with Mr. Rice, is it time for change? Is it a little odd that in 2024 we're putting our two paws together to speak to God before we get on with the business of the day? Are they doing this in serious business around the world? Maybe they are. I mean, they do it in America as well, don't they? I think they do it in the Senate as well. Now, some of you might find this a bit bizarre. And some of you might say, well, what harm is it taking a minute to reflect? That's probably needed more than ever right now at the moment. So, because I suppose, when you look at today, Sorry, I forgot to mention it. You know, when we've got chaos in this country when it comes to immigration, and then we have the Minister for Immigration, our, you know, Roderick O'Gorman, clearly, I think most people would agree, is probably failing in his duty when we look at immigration because it's in chaos. And then you kind of, he gets an internal promotion to leader of the party. It kind of makes you wonder what's going on, doesn't it? Anyway, also, I'm going to ask you tonight, is should we remove the opening prayer from council meetings and indeed all government-related dealings? And while we're at it, they still do it in primary schools as well, the opening prayer in the morning. Now, boys and girls, put your hands together, you know, sign the cross and say your prayer. It's I think it's still done. Maybe somebody can correct me, but as far as I know, it's still done in primary schools that would have a Catholic ethos. Let me know, is it time to separate church and state when it comes to the Dáil, when it comes to the council chamber, when it comes to young people in school? Let me know what you think. The number is 085 122 55. That's 085 122 55. Now, let me go to Kelly. Kelly, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you? I see you still have that huge wooden spoon in your hand.
Oh, wait, the one for stirring the pot. Yeah. Is that the one?
I'm 100% with Jane. Hands up. I'm a snob.
Are you?
I would die before I would put a neck curtain on a window.
I have to be honest with you. I'm kind of waiting on the neck curtain thing myself.
No, thanks.
Is it my ma used to have them? And you know what my ma used to do? She used to take them down every couple of months and she'd put them in a basin of bleach.
A bleach? My grandmother used to do the exact same and they'd look fabulous for 2 days.
And then you put them back up again. And then they're, on a windy day, they're blown out through the window. They're being like sucked out and waving in the wind.
They're lovely and romantic looking in the wind, but no thanks.
Yeah.
No, I am really, really sorry.
Yeah. I won't tell you what else she was saying, by the way. She's a complete snob.
Oh, I'm with her. I'm with her. It's okay.
Jane, can I tell them what you said? No, she said no. I'm not allowed to tell you. Oh, God.
She can text me.
Yeah, but she'll text herself. Anyway, yeah, but here's the thing. There's nothing wrong. I've said to her already, Jane, don't apologise for being a snob. There's nothing wrong with being a snob.
No.
It's called having standards.
Exactly. It's,
yeah.
It's putting yourself above things that are wrong.
Oh, hold on. She wants to interject here.
Can you just go back to calling me woke Jane? I don't like snob Jane. You're making me sound terrible.
Well, then you're woke snob Jane. You can be both at the same time.
Nobody wants to be friends with that person. No.
You can be woke and tell her, Kelly, she can be woke and snobby at the same time.
She can.
I think
absolutely.
Are all woke people not just snobby?
No. No, all woke people aren't snobby. I know a few woke people are not snobby.
Right, okay.
I think
anyway.
Woke people.
Do you think so? No, I would have thought the opposite.
No,
woke people are generally social justice warriors, and it doesn't matter what part of the community they're from.
I actually wouldn't call myself a snob. I would call myself somebody who has standards.
Yes, exactly. You're right. Now, getting back to the standards, by the way, the standards at hand.
Okay.
So Cork City Council, they say their prayers before they go to a council meeting in the morning. You know, and the Dáil, by the way, before it goes into session, you know, there's a prayer said, the opening session prayer. And schools do it as well, as far as I still know. The primary schools should do it if it's in a Catholic ethos school, which most of them are, 87% of them or something like that. So, but is it time that all stopped?
I think, I have no problem with prayers, as in spirituality. But the Catholic Church, this country, our government, our schools still cling the hierarchy of the Catholic Church. Regardless of the chaos they've caused down the line. I mean, look how much the government has to pay out because of, excuse my language now, but because of the fuck-ups of the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm. 800 million just to the mother and baby home people.
That's exactly it.
And that's not including what we paid out to the Magdalen Laundries. Don't get me wrong, those people happily deserve the redress
and
compensation they get.
Every penny.
Yeah,
but how much is the church putting towards
them? Very little.
Yeah, exactly. And they have a city of gold in the Vatican.
But wasn't there a whole delay last year with the mother and baby redress scheme because Roderick O'Gorman had written to, you know, all the different, the sisters of this, the sisters of the other, and they weren't responding or they weren't getting involved and they wouldn't offer any money. Or very few of them offered money towards it.
Because they believe they were in the right. And I'm not on about people practicing Catholics. That's fine if that's what you're into. I was raised a Catholic.
Yeah.
My kids all made their communions and their confirmations. I do believe in a higher power. massively.
Okay.
Whether you want to call it source, God, the universe.
Yeah, you're a Christian.
I believe in all of that.
Yeah.
But I do not think any religion has a right to cause chaos that the Catholic Church have caused all over this world. And I think it's time. It's 2024. You know, it's time to say enough is enough.
Okay, so what you're saying is this kind of stuff that you want to do, the prayers and all that, should be done privately if you want to do that, but not for opening a government session or a council meeting or a school, for that matter.
There are different little things that people can say. I mean, there's the Serenity Prayer.
That's I like that. That's a lovely little prayer, by the way.
Yeah, and the full-length one is beautiful.
What's the verse, the main one? I keep forgetting it all the time. The one about...
The short one is, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Absolutely. Isn't that... By the way, although I'm not a religious person, I think the moral of that is perfect. Yeah, it's perfect.
It's the moral.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's learning to accept things you can't change.
Yeah, yeah. I can't change that Jane is the producer of the show. There's nothing I can do about it. I just have to accept it.
Hang on now. You left. Jane took you back quite willingly.
Oh, I'm fair enough.
Remember that?
Yeah, fair enough, I suppose. Yeah, fair enough. But no, I understand the point. I do understand the point you make. So it's time for us to move on. Now, I know in America, for example, public schools, although there are some states in America now calling for prayers to be brought back in again, but public schools don't officiate any particular religion. In other words, they're not allowed to.
But you have so many religious integrations in schools now. All these schools in Catholic.
But here's the argument against it, right? And I'm not a Catholic, right? But the argument against it is he's also calling for the crucifix to be removed from the council chamber, right? Okay, and so that would mean schools as well, if we're talking about schools.
No.
But is that not part of our Irishness? Do you know what I mean?
The crucifix is part of Christianity, spirituality. It's not the Catholic Church just adopted it as their main signature, shall we say.
Yeah, their brand. It's like the Coca-Cola or the McDonald's golden arches, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, there the is brand. Fact. The crucifix was fact. Jesus hanging from the crucifix is fact.
Yeah.
You know, the only one that's not fact is the moving of the stone and rising on from the dead, but you know, the crucifix is just a symbolism of hope.
Okay, so you don't think it would be appropriate to remove that from schools or council buildings or no?
I think schools, yes, maybe, because the crucifix to, say, Muslims, Jewish people, it all means different, and we are a country.
Well, why should we pander to Islam when we're a Christian country?
I'm not just saying Islam. We have so many religions.
Yeah, but if Irish people moved to Saudi Arabia, for example, we couldn't make demands.
No, we couldn't.
No, that's what I'm saying. It wouldn't be long about getting rid of
demands either.
No, but I'm just saying, I mean, this idea that the crucifix might offend another person in another religion, I wouldn't be taking it down for that reason.
I would be going for it in any other component bar schools, because you've got very young children there. And as you know, and I know, children can be very cruel.
Stay there just for a second with me. Jerry. Hi, Jerry. How are you doing?
Not too bad at all. No, not as bad at all.
Good. You heard Kelly. Yeah, look, you know, after everything the church has done in this country, you know, not even giving a few quid towards all those victims of the Magdalen laundries and the mother and baby homes and everything else, you know, that it's time that we separate church and state. No more prayers at council meetings and, you know, let's get rid of those crucifixes. Maybe she didn't mean that, but certainly no more prayers. Would you agree with her?
Well, see, Noel, I think it's very unfair, but that's a separate discussion about the Magdalen laundries, because that discussion hasn't come to its fulfilment yet as regards the Catholic Church. It wasn't only the Catholic Church involved in that, and the state willingly put people into those homes.
Yep.
The state willingly
played its role.
Adoption. Yeah, they played its role.
But to be fair, the state are paying up, and the state did apologise. Now, don't get me wrong, too late, but...
It's a reason for that, Noel. It's a reason that they're covering up something. At the state covering up for what happened. No, but hang on a second. Has the state, this is not what the discussion is about, but has the state covered up something which was actually happening to those children? Who were those children being handed out to willingly? So
rich Americans.
An argument. And also some of the children were taken out. There's, I've brought this out. I got from a very good source that these children were being rented out from the Magdalen. And the state was well aware of it.
But the greatest respect, it wouldn't surprise me what went on there at the time. Sure, they were using children to test vaccines, for God's sake.
No, but my point being is these children were... That wasn't the Catholic Church. That was the state that was doing this.
I know.
But I'm saying that's a whole different discussion as regards to what they're asking the question for. We could talk about the Magdalen Lonnies and the Catholic Church for going on forever, like, and the abuse that took place.
Not all priests
and all nuns were like that. Not everyone. My father used to say to me, right. Priests did not become paedophiles. Paedophiles became priests.
I agree.
And that's what happened.
Yeah.
And that's what happened in sport. It's happening all over the place, as you can see at the moment.
Oh, Jerry, but the Catholics hid that up. Hid it for years. They moved priests around
the hierarchy.
Yeah, but Jerry, it wasn't just the hierarchy, because the big, and you are right, by the way, there were very few priests, by the way, who were actually paedophiles. I think it was less than 2%, right? But in saying that, it was still thousands, because there was a lot of priests at the time. But the problem wasn't so much, well, it was the paedophile priests, but more so, it was their buddies in the congregation, the other priests, the bishops and everybody else, who did nothing about it and never said anything to anybody, even though they knew.
And moved them.
The Pope even moved them.
And kept it quiet.
Yeah.
They did kill the boy.
All
priests were not aware of that. You're painting everybody. It's like saying in what's happening in some of the sports organisations, saying that the whole sport organisation knew about it. No, they didn't. And the whole of the Catholic Church did not know about it. I'm pointing the finger at the hierarchy, including the bishops, including the cardinals, including the parish priests who moved them all on, totally wrong, and they should be held accountable for what happened. But every priest did not know about it. Every bishop did not know about it.
With respect, Jerry, I think a lot of people more than you think knew about it, or knew about abuse in general. And I'll give you one example, right? And I think society knew about it, which was a bigger problem, to be honest with you.
Yes.
Like, my dad, when I was a young fella and I was 7 years of age or 8 years of age and I was bold, right? My father would threaten me and my brother with sending us to Artain Boys' School, right? Now, you know Artain Boys' School, of course. Everybody is notorious.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Notorious.
Yeah.
So people knew what was going on in Artain Boys' School, about the abuse, the sexual assaults, about everything that was going on in that particular school. So they knew, so much so, that parents used it as a bit of a threat. Oh, I'll send you to Artain Boys' School, you know all about it. So in other words, everyone knew what was going on. People always knew about, their father, what's his name? Yeah, you want to watch him there, don't bend down in front of him. All this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So people knew what was going on. But we were very innocent. And we thought that, should they know best, they're the authority. We didn't question their authority. I remember talking to a police sergeant, and he worked up near the Navan Road where I was born, St. Patrick's home on the Navan Road. And he went into his superior at the time and said, can we go over there and see what's going on? I'm after hearing a few reports about, you know, dodgy dealings and all sorts of things. And the superintendent or whoever it was in the station said, no, look, leave them to us. They do what they do over there. We don't get involved. Do you understand? There was a lot of that kind of jiggery pokery going on back in the 60s and 70s.
Absolutely not. But see, the problem that I have with this is, as I say, we discussed this all night, but it's not what Patrick Roy said down in Cork, which is the issue. But we discussed that all night. But my problem is, the Catholic Church has done a huge amount of good, more than anybody else in this world, by helping them. I know the missions, some of the missions were absolutely disgraceful.
I'm not going to deny that.
And they slaughtered. Now, they absolutely destroyed it. But what I'm saying is, I grew up in Harold's Cross, or Terry Newer, where the Passionist priests operated, and they were missionary priests.
Yeah,
I was an altar boy for years with them. I've never come across it. They didn't even own the clothes and own back. I remember one Christmas, my father was an altar boy, and one priest was really, really good. He helped me an awful lot through my teenage years. I would have gone other ways only for him. But I remember one year, I went down and gave him a tenner with my 4 weeks' wages as a apprentice mechanic. I gave him a tenner for Christmas, and he couldn't take her off me. He said, we're not allowed.
You're not allowed to take it in the clothes. Let's get, by the way, you know, it's not the most innocent place in the world. I did speak to some of the victims, by the way, of that particular college, but however. Let's get back to the conversation, Jerry. So I understand what you're saying, and there is a balance to the argument in relation to what Kelly said about the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church did a lot of good in society. If it wasn't for them, we probably wouldn't have had an education system at the time. We wouldn't have had a healthcare system at the time. So all of those things. But that was because the state basically paid the Catholic Church to look after all of those things, because the state couldn't be bothered, right? Now,
the Vatican also have enough wealth to solve world poverty.
Of course they have. Yeah. Okay. And I'm not. Some of the paintings and some of the sculptures are actually they say they're worth €1 because they're priceless.
Yeah.
Okay. So Jerry, getting back to the conversation. But have we moved on as a society? You know, do we need to have a more secular society where, you know, the children aren't indoctrinated, or, you know, or our laws aren't performed in a place where it's an indoctrination of Catholicism or Christianity? In other words, you know, having crucifixes on walls and saying prayers before we started a council meeting. Because some people would say, well, hold on, all the councillors now are not even Catholic anymore.
That's irrelevant. I used to think there was good and bad in the world, right? Now I 100% believe there's good and evil. There's no such thing as badness. It's pure evil.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're aware, so you have to have something to counteract the evil that's in the world. You're probably aware that there's monasteries that are in closed monasteries. All they do all day is pray against the evil that's going on in the world. They do nothing else.
Mm.
And that's the balance between good and evil. I mean, you've seen the Da Vinci Code and a couple of other films similar.
Yeah.
But they pray all the time to counteract the evil. They do nothing else. They're in close order. So when you say prayer inside the school, you don't have to be Catholic. You can be a Christian. And you're not pondering. I'm not going to ponder, and I'm certainly never going to ponder to somebody else coming into this country and dictating what we should do inside our schools. Because as you said earlier on, you wouldn't get away with that in any Islamic country in this world.
I agree with both of you in relation to, I wouldn't remove them for out of principle because somebody else of another denomination said we should get rid of them because we live here now. That's not a reason to get rid of them. But there might be other reasons. Actually, but do me a favour, stay there because I want to go to Jessica as well. Stay there, please, Kelly and Jerry. Jessica, hi, how are you?
Oh, yeah.
Jessica, is it time to get, I mean, does it even make any sense to you as a young person that, you know, before the opening session of the Dáil or before a council meeting, they say a prayer?
I honestly didn't even know that happened.
God only knows in the Dáil we need prayers, but however, sorry, go on.
Oh, especially with where it's going now, probably we would need it, and the holy water as well.
Yeah. They'd all burn if you threw holy water
on them. I'd say the whole place up in flames.
as soon as I heard that, like, as soon as I seen the clip from Padraig Rice, I literally said to myself, Jesus, if ever you needed more proof that the Catholic Church still has reins on Ireland, if ever you needed proof that they still have reins, like, I was shocked. I was floored. Now, when it comes to schools, I'm of the belief no religion should be in schools. I just don't think school is the place for religion. Religion is something that should be practiced in your own home.
Mm-hmm.
You do that on your own time.
Yeah. So you believe that the prayers in the school should be removed. Yeah. Gone.
Oh, all schools should be non-denominational. Because I just, from primary to secondary, if you want to practice religion, you do that on your own time. Same for the government. If you're a government official and you're in a job, why are you wasting time saying prayers to a man who I believe doesn't exist, when we could be talking about the important things of getting the country back into gear?
But yeah, when you say we could be talking about the important things, it only takes about 30 seconds.
Yeah, but it's 30 seconds that you're wasting of precious oxygen and time.
Can I just ask a question there? Like, you're talking about being indoctrinated in schools. The schools have been indoctrinated at the moment by the LGBT groups. And they're bringing that into the schools, which is totally against a lot of parents' beliefs. And nobody has been given a choice. Because of the ministers we have in power at the moment, they're indoctrinating their children in LGBT. They're flying the pride flag over. Pride has something got to do, nothing else but sexuality. Nothing else but that. It should not be in our schools.
Okay, so the point you're making, Jerry, is that you believe it's an ideology. Yeah. In other words, replacing one ideology with another is what you're saying to me.
Well, there's a very good song of actually a rapper out at the moment. He's an American rapper, Tom McDonald, and he pins on the head. Like he said, we devote a whole month to the Pride Month, and we devote one day maybe to the veteran soldiers in America. We devote one day to the Easter Rising. Well, we give a whole month for somebody preference and sexuality. That's what they do.
So yeah, I understand that. That's another conversation for another day. Actually, we only had it on the podcast today. We're talking about pride.
It's about sexuality.
Okay.
Because I feel really, really strongly about this. I don't think it's about they can finally come out publicly.
Yeah,
have rights.
But Kelly, I spoke for over an hour today on the podcast about, and the topic of conversation, or the title of the conversation today was, "Are we proud of Pride?" And I spoke to at least 7 gay people on the air today who all said the month was just too long and it's all become commercial and it's silly and they've lost the
month is way too long.
Yeah, and they've lost the point of the whole thing.
I told yourself last week.
Yeah.
The last week I told you.
Sorry, say it again, Jessica.
Sure, it was only last week, wasn't it, that I told you that sometimes I think it's better I left Ciara.
Yeah.
God knows I love her now, but...
I know.
Also, you didn't take too kindly. Didn't take too kindly for that. I got a bollocking in the ear.
I'd say you did. Okay, but getting back to the prayers. So, Jessica, you didn't even know they were doing these prayers in the morning.
No, because I honestly thought we already had a separation of church and state, but I suppose...
I don't know how you thought that. Sure, even when you went to court, she's wearing a Bible.
I guess I'm just that naive, but
no, it's not naive. I suppose young people see this is the thing, Jerry. Right? You know, the younger generation of today, like Jessica, she's 23 years of age. You know,
25. Thanks for making me young, though.
Oh, sorry, 25. Jerry, religion is reasonably meaningless to most young people. Not all, but most young people nowadays.
But it's
kind of meaningless.
It's amazing that you say that because there's plenty of young groups and thousands and thousands.
I'm sure there is. But generally speaking.
Of young people. No, you can talk generally, but you don't have the figures, Noel.
I don't need the figures to know that there's a massive drop in the amount of people that a significant drop in the amount of people that practice religion in Ireland. Go into a church. Jerry, I don't need figures. Go into a church any Sunday. When I was a kid, there was 4 masses on a Sunday morning, including the youth mass at 10 o'clock. Now you're lucky if there's one. There was 7 priests in Edenmore. I think that if there's even one now, they'd be lucky. And when you go into the congregation now, you'll see the majority of the congregation are somewhere between 50 and 70 years of age. No disrespect to older people. I'm just saying, religion is not what it used to be, Jerry. To suggest that it is wrong. I don't need figures.
The point I'm trying to make, down in the Chilean mine when there a few years ago, when miners collapsed and there was about 50 miners trapped down the mines, John Waters, now I know you probably don't like John Waters. Anyway,
I have no problem with John. Nice bloke.
Yeah, well, he made a statement, and there was no atheists in those mines. But every one of them was praying to God for their lives. So when you're in an hour of need, like you're going to change religion very quickly. You're going to turn to God very, very quickly in your last moment.
Jerry, you turn to a God of your own understanding.
Of course, I agree with that.
I don't believe that God is Catholic.
No, 100%, I agree with you there.
I believe God.
Yeah. I think if we're all down the mines with the troop, you know, Jerry, and we're all in that situation, no matter how atheist we happen to be, we'd all start praying to somebody. Anyway, listen, stay there, please, if you can, for a second, because I have to take a break. Kathy, I'll be with you straight after the break, I promise. The number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. The question, quite simply, is... Now I forgot what the question is. Oh, yeah. Should we remove the opening prayer from council meetings? And indeed, all government-relating dealings, including, by the way, schools as well. You know, in the mornings, you know, they say a little prayer in schools, and most schools are still think they do in Catholic schools. Is it time to remove those prayers? According to Mr. Patrick Rice, councillor, he said the idea that it's still happening and there should be a separation between church and state instructions and that the crucifix should be removed from the council chamber. I think maybe that goes too far. Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. Stay there, Kelly and Jessica. Let me just go to Kathy. Kathy, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. Can I just tell you something?
Yeah.
I have net curtains on every window in my house.
There you go, Kelly. See what you started now, Kelly?
Kathy.
See what you started, Kathy, with your snobbery.
It's to each their own.
Exactly. Yeah. No, Kathy, my mother used to have them too, can I just point out? And so did my granny.
Mm? Yeah, and maybe every 3 months, you take them down, put them in the washing machine, bit of bleach, and they come up like new.
Yeah, my mother, I don't think we had a washing machine. She used to just put them in a basin of water with bleach overnight, yeah.
Now, regarding the crucifixes, I think that if they take down crucifixes, that it's just going to bring bad luck on people.
Oh, okay.
I also think, you know, all this carry on at Christmas, oh, the Christmas cribs are offending people.
Oh, yeah.
We need to move them. That's a load of crap.
Yeah.
Christmas cribs need to be there. And also, there was a stupid petition maybe 2 years ago to get rid of the Angelus.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one, yeah.
Yeah, thankfully the Angelus is still on as well.
Yeah, but here's the story with the Angelus, right? It's prime time television. It's 30 seconds long or whatever it is, right? That's worth money, a lot of money. And so, in other words, religion is getting an advertisement for free on national television.
Yeah, but it's also helping all the people in the nursing homes, in hospitals. You'll notice, Niall, if ever you're in there at that time, that the whole place goes quiet because everyone in a hospital or a nursing home, they do bless themselves and they pray. And it's needed for
Not
that,
Not everyone
definitely.
In a hospital. In a nursing home, yes. But the Angelus has played on the radio.
Mm.
Why does it have to be forced on me in my front room just because I want to watch the news?
Well, turn on to Virgin Media. They don't do it. When I hear the Angelus coming on, I just stop whatever I'm doing and pray. I need to.
Jessica, do you stop what you're doing when the Angelus comes on?
Well, like I said with the RTA stuff, never had to do, don't deal with it now since the dear grandmother passed. And if the Angelus came on, I'd be told, put down your pencil and pray. I mean,
That's the way it was in my house. If you even spoke in our house when the Angelus on, my dad'd kill you.
Oh, if I was at my grandmother, I'd do the same.
Even as a youngster, I just didn't, I don't know, maybe it's just because I didn't pay attention enough in school or whatever. I didn't feel a grasp to it. I just thought, what the hell, are we doing?
Can I say what I think is the biggest problem with the Catholic Church?
Yeah.
Now, we all know they're puppet strings. They're attached to the government in this country, whether they say they are or not. But the Catholic Church itself, I think it just, as was it Kathy there that said something about the Angelus?
Yeah.
It's just so forced down people's throats. The crucifix is spirituality, Christianity. And I think the Angelus should be done away with long before the prayers, because in another 10 years, nobody's going to remember what the Angelus was.
Mm.
Well, look how many parents,
You're right. It'll probably be gone in 10 years, as will RTE.
Yeah.
Most likely. But can I ask you as well, Kathy, just in relation to the crucifix, right, and those kind of other ornaments of religion, some people will say that, you know, Ireland is a changing country. There's different religions. There's Hinduism, Jewish people, Islam. There's all different denominations now, you know, in the classroom. And so, if we're going to have that, why not, you know, why don't we have other ornaments for other religions?
There is Jesus, you never go down to the mosque in Dublin 8. You'd think you were in Whitechapel, for God's sake. No, we need to keep the crucifixes, definitely.
Yeah. Sorry, everybody's just got real quiet because the Angelus.
I just throw us a banner in the works?
Yeah. Go, throw it. Fling it
I
there.
Think religion should, you know, they teach religion in primary schools, secondary schools. I think that should be abolished and they should be teaching young people mindfulness.
All right, we all just need to. What happened to me, Angelus? I was going to say we're all going to reflect for 30 seconds now. On a reflect on our day. Because, Jessica, that's the purpose of the Angelus. It's not really. They don't have any religious stuff. And you know when they show the pictures and the videos at 6 o'clock for the Angelus? They don't show any religious ones anymore. It's just people reflecting on, you know, their day. That's the whole purpose of it.
Well, you can do that. You can do that without bells in the background.
Exactly.
The bells are
really good. No, the sound of the bells is nice. It relaxes you.
Oh, well, I'm not the person who thought that the bells sounded, I know it's going to sound weird, I used to find them scary. I don't know why I always say to my mom, scary. Oh, I'm so scary, I don't like it.
Jesse, I'm with you. It's like something from The Omen.
Especially the last one, it just goes on forever. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I living on a prayer. What are you doing?
That's better.
You can imagine that just before the news at 6 o'clock. Kathy'd lose her mind.
Oh, I'd get a great dancer in the kitchen.
Okay, stay there for a second, Kathy, if you can. Let me just go to Sarah as well. Sarah, hi, how are you?
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. As it was in the beginning, take up your rashers and sausages and fry them.
Thank you. Thank you, Sarah. Sarah, I think you're on new medication. I'm convinced of it at this stage.
Sorry, you have to pretend that the lad in the window saying you can hear me. This is something that we care. So, anyway, yeah.
Sarah, is it time to get rid of the prayers in government buildings?
In the government buildings, yes. Right, when you think of an oil, you have on 5 days a week on RT1 Sky News, right? And where I work, I put on the rosary every morning and I put on a live stream mass for the elderly.
Yeah.
And they love it. And then before I go home, then I'll do the rosary again with them.
Okay.
And that's them. You know, that's like, and if my own mother was still alive today, I'd say she'd be probably doing exactly the same thing because it's a generation thing.
Yeah.
However, me, myself personally, I think they should scrap it from every building that you go into it and set, except church.
Mm.
It's a private thing. The people is into it. That's their thing. It's true. Years ago, you know, if you are peeling the spuds for the next day or you heard the Angelus, it was self-reflect.
Mm.
And that's what happened. And we used to have that on TV as well. Like, you'd get 2 or 3 minutes of a reflection of some good that was happening in around Hi. Ireland.
Yeah.
Has that still disappeared or is it still going on? I don't know.
Well, it kind of still goes on. Yeah, it's kind of more a rural Ireland thing, yeah.
Well, that really is good, right?
Yeah.
But when it comes, when you bring it back, and didn't you change the number of bongs as well?
Did they?
At one stage, I think it was 18, and I'm not 100% sure now. I remember.
Although I didn't know there was a particular number of bongs. I just thought it was...
Yeah,
Kathy, is there a particular number of bongs?
I don't know. I don't listen to it. It's just in the background while I say my prayers that I won't have any pain in my back. Oh. And it works a good few times.
Yeah.
Niall, can I just say something to you? You said earlier on that there isn't many young people now going to Mass. I went to a Latin Mass in Harrington Street a couple of times and I could not get over the amount of young people that were at that Mass, and the place was packed. It was all ages. There were so many young people there, and the reverence they showed was similar to what was in the 60s.
I'm not saying there isn't any young people, but if you compare now to, say, you know, 30 years ago, there's a massive difference. Yeah. Massive difference. Every young person was sent to Mass when they were a child. Every young person.
Yeah, that
doesn't happen anymore. Most young people don't go to Mass.
You were happy once you go home.
Yeah.
You'd have to ask who was doing the Mass.
I remember that, yeah. What was the sermon about? I don't know any young people that go to Mass. Now, I'm sure some do, Kathy, but I don't know any.
Yeah. I couldn't get over the amount of young people were in that church. I couldn't get over it.
Yeah, well, it might have been a specific Mass, because if you walk into any church on a Sunday now, the majority of people are over the age of 50.
Everything is completely Latin in it. There's no English spoken or anything.
East Domine
Spee. But even Mass today, if you went to Mass today, like, it's not Mass the way it was years ago.
What do you mean?
I remember years ago, as I say, I used to have to go to church with my mum, and I'd be there, and the service was like, my knees would be sore, my backside would be sore, sitting up and down or whatever. But it went on for ages, and it was like longer.
Yeah, 50 minutes. It's about 50 minutes, yeah.
It wasn't like it was long. It was longer than that. Well, like, it went on for years.
Oh, you must be a slow priest.
No, but come here. The really is great. My life is in a choir. The crack I used to have in that choir, was, religion didn't come into it. I know religion was part of the service, but I just love singing and I love messing. And, that's the way it was for me. And the priest that done the mass in Ballymore, Frank, everyone loved him. Mm. He was an utter of a job. He was very good to the community.
Yeah.
He put an awful lot in the community. And religion never, he never once spoke to us about, like, the way we live or how we live our life. If we were ever in trouble and needed to talk, he was always there for us.
Mm.
But not once he ever enforced our...
Okay, getting back to the question at hand. And by the way, just for people who are in just in case you're wondering, there's 9 bells. There's 3 bells, sessions of 3 bells in the Angelus for some reason, 9. Seems more. Jeez, it seems more than that.
Anyway,
sorry. So getting back to the question, Sarah. So is it time to stop doing the prayer at council meetings and at the start of the Dáil session?
No, I swear to God, the researcher told me that. I swear to God, I was stuck for words. There you go.
You didn't even know it was still happening?
I never even knew they'd done such a thing.
Yeah, they do.
And that is that's not right. I'm actually I'm not saying I'm annoyed over it, but that's not proper council, when you think of it.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because, we put our faith into the government, and my faith is not, as I say, I wouldn't class them as on a religious or a spiritual base. So I don't know why they have to bring it into a meeting room. You know what I mean? You go through a 12-step program, you'll say the Our Father and the Serenity Prayer.
Mm.
You know what I mean? That's part of the program. You can choose to say it, you can choose not to say it. You know, and that's whether you're Catholic, Protestant.
You're saying to me is there's a time and the place, and that's not the place. Yeah.
Well, I don't think in the government bill, no way, 100%.
Okay, sorry. Well, stay there for a second. Stay there, Cathy, please. Let me just go to Valerie as well. Valerie, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you? I missed the start of the conversation now. I was woken in.
Oh, you missed the whole bit about the
Clare.
You missed the whole bit about the neck gardens.
Is the question kind of, is prayer important to people or what is it?
No. That's kind of what it turned into. But no, it's because Councillor Padraig Rice had said that, you know, the morning prayer in the council chamber and also what they do with the Dáil as well should be abolished because he said it's time for change to separate the church and state. So most people weren't even aware that in council meetings they do a prayer. And most people aren't aware that in the morning in the Dáil they do the morning prayer.
Mm. And are the majority of people against it? Because I don't see anything wrong with prayer. If somebody gets a benefit out of prayer or faith or religion, I don't see anything wrong with it. In fact, I hate to admit this, but I have a bit of a peeve when I go to certain areas for walks with my dog and I see beautiful old historic, there were religious buildings like the Good Shepherd Convent and places like that. And I see where there were beautiful statues there where some people get peace from praying at these things. They're all removed.
Why were they removed?
I'd say for people just were against it over all the things maybe that happened in the church.
Oh.
If you go to, I'm next to magnificent historic buildings and, you know, you have kind of areas in between the stone walls where you'd have, you know, Our Lady was there and, you know, with a rosary bead. They're all gone. They're actually gone. Because people probably have a problem with Catholic religion and, you know, because of certain things that happened. I actually don't like that.
No, I don't agree with the removal of any statues for any reason whatsoever.
Yeah.
I don't mind
what religion anyone is or what you get peace from. You know what I mean?
Prayer I believe statues have historical importance. It doesn't matter, by the way, what they represent. Yeah, it doesn't matter what they represent.
And it's the same even at Christmas time in some of our cathedrals and churches. The way people have objected for the crypt to be there and the manger and all this kind of thing, they're taken out of churches. I'm against all that. I mean, that's wrong to do that.
Well, of course.
I mean, you know, and so I have a major problem with that. As far as I'm concerned, if people want to pray, I think it's better off to be prayed than abusing people, isn't it? And doing bad things to people.
Absolutely.
That shows a person of faith. Mm. And what's wrong with that? That shouldn't be condemned.
Okay, so are you telling me to keep the prayers in the morning?
I think they should do a vote. If there's, the majority is against it, well, then that's a decision for whatever organisation if they want to ban something like that. But I don't understand why we, you know, are we not proud of our heritage, our Irish language, or, you know,
our traditions,
the goodness?
Yeah.
Yeah, our own traditions in Ireland that we've always had.
He also, Padraig Rice also said that the crucifix should be removed from the council chamber.
I mean, I think that's actually shocking. That's nutty talk. Mm. I mean, is he trying to get you know, to be popular with a certain group or whatever, to make himself look like a cool guy or something. Mm. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. I'm very proud of my son who's living in London. He goes one night a week to speak all Irish to all people ranging from 16 to 80 years of age, all Gaelgors, just to keep our heritage alive. People that have gone to London and lived there when they were very young, and they miss Ireland, and for whatever reason, maybe their family are gone or whatever, they're keeping the language alive, and I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, I'm all...
No matter what country you're from, whether you're Turkish, whether you're Italian or whatever, we should be all proud of our heritage. And yes, wrong has happened in many religions, but, you know, if somebody's getting a benefit, I know of certain people that, you know, terrible things have happened in their life, and they get a great peace by going to Mass every morning. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not religious at all, as you well know. But
hugely.
No, but Mass, but I appreciate traditions. I love Christmas. And I think that the crib should be kept, of course. I remember the crib as a child in every church, the moving crib as well in town. I remember all of that, you know, Santa Claus and all those other traditions.
But do you ever pray, Niall, if you hear of somebody that has something terrible?
Here's the thing. Everybody, no matter who you are, or atheist or otherwise, prays. Now, our definition of praying... my definition of praying and yours are two completely different things, right? So I don't pray to a particular God, but I wish...
I wish
for good health for people if somebody is sick, or I wish I wish to win the lottery at the weekend, or I wish. So it doesn't mean that I'm necessarily praying.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Yes, that's faith, but I think that's a good thing. Mm. It's not harming anybody.
No.
You know, but...
That's positive thinking.
Of course, and as I said, I know that, you know, we have all nationalities and all different religions living in our country now. And yes, it's good to educate all the youth within their schools and all these different religions.
And is it offensive? Is it offensive to a Muslim, for example, you know, Muslim or Hindu children who are in the class to see, say, in a classroom, to see a crucifix up on the wall? You know.
Well, if that's the, I'm sorry to have this mentality now, but I have lived in various countries, and I would not go into another country and tell them I'm offended by something that's, you know, part of their culture. Mm. That's not a right thing to do.
No,
it's our country, it's our culture. So I don't think anyone has a right to condemn that. Actually, to be honest with you, I find that quite offensive.
Hang on, Sarah. There you go. According to Valerie, it would be, you know, you wouldn't go into another country and demand they change their traditions.
Not. I'm not going to go into Saudi Arabia and start drinking beer and go around half naked. Mm. Do you know what I mean? I know you can't do that. You know, and you have to respect the rules of those countries. It's the same, like, certain countries have rules you can't even live together. You have to be married. You know, and that's very alien to us when we hear those rules, but that's just the way.
Yeah, you go to Abu Dhabi on holidays, you have to be married to stay in a hotel room together.
Yes. Okay.
So, Sarah, in other words, you have to respect the rules of a country. So, in other words, you're saying it's outdated and old-fashioned to have the prayer there, the crucifix there and all that. But in saying that, it's part of Irish culture and tradition.
No, there's a time and a place for that. It is part of Irish culture, and she is right in the majority of things. But times have changed in Ireland.
Have they?
Like, we're in the European...
But not necessarily for the good.
Hang on, just let Sarah finish what she's saying. Go ahead, Sarah.
No, what I'm saying is, right, it's a government building, right? I don't think religion should come into it. That's the bottom line.
I
got christened in a lovely church in St. Poppin. And it's turned into an orphan home. That was a beautiful church. I love going into churches and looking at them. I really do. I get a sense of peace, a calmness, or whatever the case may be. But if I walk into the hall, I wouldn't get that feeling.
Now, when I walk into the hall, I get a sense of chaos.
But hang on, Niall. Seeing as that we're on this topic as well, right? We have an awful lot of non-nationals in our country that they're able to practice their religion when they feel like doing it. You know what I mean? Are we not to get offended? Have we to abide like that? Or have we not to respect the wishes of our own?
But we have to respect everybody, no matter where you're from or what you're doing. But when you're in a particular country, you have to also respect the rules of that country.
Well, the rules and traditions of the country that you're in must be prioritised.
100%. You know, and I think when you've travelled, I've lived in various different countries for many years, you know, in the United States and just different, various different countries. And I actually was always very proud when I would hear people speak in Oswego or, you know, just teaching other people about our country, you know. I mean, obviously bad things have happened in, you know, industrial schools and religious and all, and which is a horrible thing, and it has happened the world over, you know, and none of us are proud of that legacy, obviously.
Well, do you but know also what, right? Tons of I went good to happened, you know.
Niall.
Yes, Sarah.
I went to Fatty Matt, right, a few times, right?
Mm.
And it was a day trip, right? And I'll never forget, right? And it was just a day trip. I went, experienced the whole lot. Pope John Paul II, it was my thing, right?
Yeah.
And that's who I always looked up to when I was a child growing up, right?
Yeah.
And that's me today, right? However, right, at the end of that trip, we got brought into a big, huge factory where there was young girls, very, very young girls, had to perform and put on a show for us, right? And then they were pulled straight back into the factory, making all these statues, making these crucifixes that cost us hundreds and thousands of euro today.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's an awful lot of hypocrisy going on. You know what I mean? One minute it's okay to have a big cross hanging up in the middle of the doll, which I 100% shouldn't. I don't agree. It should be in a government building. Wherever the case may be, it being in a church, nursing home, care of the elderly, sick people, someone's home. But I'd get offended if I walked into a shop and if I seen crosses everywhere. Nearly every home in Ireland had a little thing beside the hall door with holy water.
You'd get offended if you went into a shop and they had a crucifix up. The argument is you just go into another shop then if you don't like it.
Yeah, I know you wouldn't.
What in Ireland have crosses and, yeah, you know, when you go in. What's the red light you had in Ireland?
Yeah, but listen, ladies, I'm running out of time rapidly, but I would say, Sarah, that there are shops, particularly in rural Ireland, you would go into a lot of shops and they might have a crucifix up, you know. Anyway, loads and loads of people texting in. The majority of people are saying, surprisingly, leave it alone. Stop messing with stuff. One or two people saying what Valerie says. Yeah, the world is changing, but is that such a good thing? Look at the world around us. Maybe isn't the happiest place in the world anymore, is it?
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.